Okay, we're picking up from the Gemara, two lines from the top of Ayin Ches Amud Aleph, the words of De'ilo Ksiv Kra. We're a little bit in the middle of Akasha, so just to flesh out again, the Gemara was suggesting that how do I have a case of a Mitzri, if you're going to assume that a Mitzris is able to marry into the Kaal, and then a Mitzri would not be able to marry his a fellow Mitzri who converts, so then at the end of the day, how can he ever become purified after the third generation? So the Gemara suggested, Dilma De'avar V'nasiv, maybe he actually married against the halacha, and then that would be the case for his third generation permitted, and that's what the Torah is telling about. So the Gemara says to Elok Siv Kra, because if the pasuk doesn't say the case is that if someone's violating the halacha, meaning that the Torah would have not said that the Egyptian third generation is permitted to marry into the kehilo, if it pertained only to the case where you would violate a vera, which is uncommon. Haram and Mamzer is di'i. When it comes to Mamzer, also his parents are going to be di'i, because Siv Kra, the pasuk tells you about it, so we see. These are products, something which is rare and an Isser device. So yet, the Torah discusses them, telling us that they're Isser from marrying into the Kaal. So that would be the same thing over here. It can only be done through Isser. And yet, we're saying it's Dor Shlishi, so we're saying it's not such a crazy suggestion to suggest that only if it was violated by Isser, that's what the Torah is talking about. So Gemara says, to either Surah, so you can tell me that if it's telling that it's talking about an Isser, the Torah is telling us the case of a Mamzer. It's telling us that even if the Mamzer who produced, we do not intermarry with him. To Ila Hatera Lokasa, but in the case of if, when regards to the Pasuk is saying that it's Mutter, meaning the Torah would not tell us the third generation of the Egyptian is permitted, and only a common situation where the parents had violated halacha. So Gemara says, Arei Mamzer Kshasa, but wait a second. The case of someone who remarries his divorcee who had married someone else in the interim, to Ila Hatera, which is the case of if, which is leading to a person, permissibility of a custody that yet the Torah reads in it. The Torah is telling us the case where the pasuk says, "Lo yuchal baila rishon." A person is not allowed to go and remarry his wife who had formerly married somebody else. She is rejected to him, and it's a to'eva. So the Gemara says that the lashon is to'eva, that she is rejected, as to meaning that she herself is rejected from her first husband, but the children are not. That in the case where the Torah is telling you that she, if she marries this person, then her daughter, let's say, would not be a chalala, and she'd be fit to marry a kohen. So therefore, the Torah is telling us the case of an e, if the man violates halacha, his children are going to be fit for kahunas, and maybe also. So the Gemara says, Hasam mishum ikar isurahu dekasre. But there, it's because the name to form of the basic iser. That there, the main point of the pasuk is that she's rejected from her original husband. Here, we're deriving through inference that with regards to the children, they're not rejected in regards to a third generation mitzri. However, the pasuk is saying an entire idea in the pasuk to teach us that he is permitted. This would not have been written if it said only where talking about where the iser had happened. So again, so the Gemara was suggesting maybe it's not where it's totally usher. Now the Gemara says with regards to a Egyptian convert, Tanu Rabbanan im nemar banim. It says lama nemar doros, nemar doros, lama nemar banim. The pasuk says both of them. The pasuk says banim asher avad lam doros hashir lam bakal Hashem. That the sons are born to them in the third generations, they should be allowed to marry. The Torah should have just said both banim, both circumstances. The Torah could have said ben shlishi avo ben or dor shlishi avo and start with dor also. Why are you changing the lashonos using in one context the lashon of a ben and the lashon of other context the lashon of a doros, the lashon of generations? The Gemara says because im nemar banim velo nemar doros, because if it said sons were mentioned and not doros and not the generations, I would have said the following. Hayisomer ben rishon v'sheni aser shlishi mutaris. I would have thought that it's actual children. His first son is aser, second son is aser, his third son is going to be permitted, not the third generation. I would have thought the son means the third son born to him. So lechach nemar doros, that's what it says. Doros to teach you that all of the sons are going to be aser, meaning only the second generation is going to be, only the third generation, only his grandchildren who are of the third generation are going to be permitted. That's what we learned from doros. So now if it only said doros, if it said generation, not say sons, the Torah only said the third generation is allowed to enter the Kila without mentioning the children. We might have understood it as meaning at the beginning with the third generation from those who are Har Sinai. And after that, everybody would be allowed, they would be allowed to intermarry into them once they convert, even if they're first generation. So therefore, the Kach Namar Banim. Therefore, we need both words to teach you that no, even if they're converting now, it's the third generation, meaning only his grandchildren would be allowed to marry into the Kila. And that is whenever it is, even if it's hundreds of years, thousands of years, even now, if we knew who our Mitzrim were, the Mitzrim nowadays are mixed up. We don't really know. They're not really the descendants of the earlier Mitzrim. But if we would find out who the Mitzrim were, so then the halacha would apply even thousands of years later. That's what we learn from here. Says the Braisa, Lahem. What do we learn from Lahem? Mahem Manef. They count three generations from them. The Torah said that Lashon of Lahem is extra word. So Torah is teaching us that we start counting three generations from the convert himself. He's the first generation, his son is the second generation, and his grandson would be permitted. He's the third generation. So the Gemara says, Lahem heilach ha-psula, and also follow their psul, that if a male Mitzri or male Adomi converts and marries a Israelist woman, or Israel man marries a female Mitzri or Adomi, we follow the converts, and the children are going to be considered Mitzrim or Adomim rather than Israelim, and they're going to be usher until the third generation. So now, the Gemara says, the Pasuk finds it necessary to write to them, it was necessary for them to write those who are born to them, because of the Pasuk said, only those who are born in the third generation. I would have said that the Torah is telling us to count three generations from their sons. The Pasuk says to them, the Pasuk says only to them in the third generation, I would have said the Egyptian woman converts while pregnant, she and her unborn son are considered one generation, but only the son's grandchildren will be permitted, that those who are born to them. To teach us that at any birth after the conversion is considered a generation unto itself, and even though the child was conceived prior to his mother's conversion, he has the status of a second generation, even though she was pregnant with him when she converted. So it says the Gemara of Yitzchak L'michtav of Lahem Hacha, and it was necessary to say for them in this context, Yitzchak L'michtav Lo Gabi Mamzer. It's necessary to write Lo in the context of a Mamzer. The pasuk says Lo. The term for him is teaching us that if the parent is a mamzer or mamzeris, and then the parent is a yid who's a kasher, the child follows him, the mamzer, and they're going to be a pasul. So it says the Gemara, "Deikas rachmana acha," because if the pasuk only says it with regards to mishim debam mitipa psula, with regards to the Egyptian, I would have thought because the Egyptian mamzer is originating from somebody who is a goy, his father's a goy, right? So the zera was coming from someone who's unfit to valbakal of a mamzer debam mitipa ksher. With regards to mamzer, his father was a kasher yid. He just didn't have aver that made it that the child becomes unfit. Aim low, so then I would have thought that would not be the following disqualification. We don't necessarily go after the father. Because Rahmana Gabi Mamzer, if it regards to Mamzer, then I would have thought Mishum Dein Royan Laval Bakala Olam. Mamzerim are Alayla Olam. They never can join into Kal Yisrael. So they're all future generations. So therefore, I would have said Aval Hacha, when it comes to the Egyptian Kamzer, the third generation is permitted. Aim low, I might have thought we do not follow this disqualification to go after either parent. Tzricha, therefore, the Pasuk is necessary to mention both of them. So how's the Gemara now? Amar Rabba Barachana, Amar B'yechanan. Mitzri Sheni Shenasar Mitzri Yishoyna. What's the halacha if you have a second generation male Egyptian convert who marries a first generation female convert? So what happens to their children? B'na Shlishi Havai, her son is classified as third generation Egyptian convert. Alma Kasar Basar Deshidin on the Chor Rabbi Yochanan sees from over here that we go after the father. Right, the we should go after the father because when two heter people are marrying, we go mishpachas on the base of osam that they go after the fathers. So that should be the halach over here. So the Gemara says, "Meisi Rabbi Yosef, we have a kasha on this." Rabbi Tarfon Amar Yecholin Mamzer Lisa. Rabbi Tarfon in Maseches Kedushin tells us that he finds an etza for a way to a mamzer could eventually come back into the keilah of Klal Yisrael. How does that happen? You do the following. So they can make a mamzer nasa shifcha. So mamzer should marry a shifcha knanis, a slave woman who is a shifcha knanis. So she is allowed to marry him because he is a mamzer. So now Vlad Eva, the Vlad becomes a slave and not a mamzer for the, we go after the slave woman and therefore she gets the slave status of a shifcha knanis. So he's an Eved Knaini. Shechor, then the person will free this slave, Nimtza ben Chorim. So this person's grandchild comes out to be a free person and is a yid. Alma Basar Deshin Lim. So that was his etza to make it that we can fix the mamzerim shaila. So what do we see from here? That we see Lachora Basar Dida Shadina Lay, that we see that we go with the child after the mother, not the father in this circumstance. It comes from the Mishnah that even when the parents are not usher to each other, the child follows the lineage of his mother, not the father. That's a Lachora against Rabbi Yochanan that was brought down by Rabbi Bar Chana. So the Gemara says, no, Shani Asana Markra, Ishav Yaldeh Atiyala Dineh. There's a specific limud. Enechanam, we would normally go after the father. Here, there's a specific limud to teach us that we shouldn't go after the father. It says, Ishav Yaldeh Atiyala Dineh, when it comes to Shifra Knainis, the Pasuk says that the woman and her children should go to her because they're goyim. It's like the Eved Ivri. The Eved Ivri is allowed to have relations and have bear children with the Shifcha Knainis, but they're not his children halachically. They're considered her children and she's a goy. That's one of the rayas that we go after the lineage of the mother, not a father, to determine who's Jewish. Says the Gemara, another kasha. Meisi Rava. Amar Biuda Minyamin Ger Mitzri Ayala Chavar Mutabin Rebbe Kiva. Minyamin, he was an Egyptian convert. He was a friend of and a student of Rabbi Akiva. Ve'amar ani mitzvah rishon v'nasasi mitzvah rishayna. I'm a first generation Egyptian and I married a first generation Egyptian convert. Asiya livni mitzvah shniya. I will marry my son to a second generation Egyptian, the daughter of an Egyptian convert, in order that what should happen? Kadesh yeh b'nei roi levi b'kav. So my child be able to marry into Klal Yisrael properly and it will be gishmak. Ve'isa kadaitach basredi desha. Dinah l'nei are going to tell me that it's going to come into, you're going to be able to suggest that when a second generation is converting, is marrying a first generation female, so why does it mean, Afilu Rishon Lomi, why does it say that he was specifically marrying, why was he makbed that he should be marrying, his child should be marrying also a second generation female convert? Let his child marry a first generation female convert, because it goes after the father, and the father is second generation, no matter what, no matter who the father is marrying, the grandson should be mutter to marry into Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara says, "Ha, Amar le Rabbi Yochanan Tana. Rabbi Yochanan amended this brisa. He said to the one who quoted this brisa, Tana Rishona, you should fix and say that my son will marry even a first generation female Egyptian convert, so that my son will be fit to the lokal. No matter who he's marrying, it's going to be kosher." So Rabbi Yochanan amended the brisa to fit his shita. So now the Gemara suggests another ruling of Rabbi Yochanan. Ki yasar Rabbi Yochanan many times Rabbi Yochanan used to come from Eretz Yisrael. He was the gadol dor Rav. Rabbi Yochanan was the gadol dor in Eretz Yisrael, and Rav Dimi would come relating different things from Rabbi Yochanan. So here too, he came and said the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Mitzvah sheni shenasar mitzvah shishena, a second generation male Egyptian convert, American first generation female convert, binah sheni havi. The son is classified as a second generation convert. Alma basar imei shedinalei. We see Rabbi Yochanan in this version of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is going after the mother, not necessarily the father over here. The Gemara is assuming that we go after the mother, not the father. So Rabbi Dimi's version of Rabbi Yochanan is saying that the child is treated as a second generation convert is based on a principle that we follow whoever the psul is, whoever the father, whichever mother or father's puzzle, that we follow them. Not after that. So that's the Gemara. Amar le Abaye, Ela Hadam Rabbi Yochanan. But what Rabbi Yochanan said, Hifrish chatas mubaris vialda. One designated a pregnant animal as a chatas, and this pregnant animal gave birth. Ratzam miskaperas, bar ratzam miskaperas bulvada. If he so chooses, he may use the chatas itself, or if he doesn't, he can use the other korban, the offspring of that korban. He can choose whichever one. The other one will be left the ligzos ad right until it develops a mum. And once it comes a mum, you can be right your poday, and you have to bring an ola with that offspring. Normally, if you set aside a chatas, the lacha is you set aside a chatas and you lose it, and you bring another chatas and you find the first one, the lacha is you have to let it starve. That's the lacha you put in the keeper. You have to let it starve. You can't do anything with it. You can't have any hana from that animal. Here, there's a specific halacha because the other animal was already pregnant. We assume that both of them are keila designated as your korban. If you designate two different korbanos, the halacha follows what we just said, that one is brought as a korban chatas. The other one, you wait till it gets a mum, and you are allowed to be menene from it and bring the as a korban ola. So now the Gemara points out, though, so if you maintain that Rabbi Yochanan holds a fetus is not necessarily yerech ima, literally the thigh of its mother, it's considered a different entity. So then this case makes sense because it's as if you're designated two different korban chatas, one as kilu a guarantee for the other. As we mentioned, that you're allowed to dedicate two different things and say that one is kilu a guarantee for the other, and whichever one you so desire to bring as the korban chatas, that's to be the one that you're bringing. Rabbi Yoshi said with this regards to this halacha, Ifrish chatos lachrayos, if one designated two chatos as a guarantee for one another, miskaper ba'achas men vashnia tira, he is going to atone his sin with one of them, and the second one is left to graze until it develops a blemish. The halacha on Moshe B'Sinai, again, you'd be allowed to do this in this case, that you'd be allowed to wait for it to develop a blemish and not let it die. In the case we mentioned before, again, where you designate one and you lose it, and then you end up finding it after you already bring the second one, the halacha is that one has to left to die. We hear that this special halacha. So now the Gemara says, Ilamart Uber Yerechimo, we say, if Rabbi Yochanan holds that if you say the fetus is like the thigh of its mother, so then it's literally like it's one entity, so then Ave Lev Vlad Chata, so then when one designates a pregnant animal as a chatas, so then the child that's coming out of it, the offspring of that, is l'chora going to be considered the offspring of a chatas, and the fetus itself is considered the same entity, and therefore when it's born, it's considered a different entity, so then you only designated one chatas, and now what's happening after that one chatas is Vlad Chatas l'misazil, so then you have to, the offspring of that chatas, l'chora has to wait till you let it die, you're not allowed to use it whatsoever. So how can Ruchan rule that the newborn animal may be offered as a kapara? So the Gemara says, Ishtik, Rav Dimi was unable to answer this question. So by himself gave an answer, Amar Leh Dilma Shani Hasam, maybe in the case with regards to the offspring of two Egyptian converts, it's going to be a different case. Tichsiv, Asheri Valdu, the Pasuk specifically says, those who are born to them in the third generation can come to the Kahal. Hakasut Tla Beleda, there the Pasuk is making it dependent on who's born to them, but using the lashon of born to them, the Pasuk is teaching us that we follow the lineage of the mother to whom they are born. So therefore, even the Rabbi Yochanan generally maintains that a fetus is not considered Yerach Imo, as we rule clearly from the case of a pregnant Chatas, regarding the offspring of Egyptian converts, he does follow the fact that Yerach Imo, because there's a special limud in the pasuk itself that tells you that you should be learning that. So it's an exception to the rule. So Amar Lei Karpana, you're Chashuv, Chazisa the Reshach Bein Amudei, Ki Amar Rabbi Yochanan Shmaita, that I saw that you learned this from Rabbi Yochanan. That wasn't, you pretended, Kilu, that you were thinking of this Gavaldik Asfar when you really heard it already. It's like, you know, sometimes people pretend they see something in a sefer, see something in Rabbi Chaim, and they pretend to ask his Kasha or give his Teretz without pretending to know it. So, no, I saw that you were in the Shir and you really knew the answer from Rabbi Yochanan. They were just pretending that you didn't. Okay, and just think what that means. Rav Nemtzel says it's an Issur D'oraisa to make fun of other people. So I asked him Akasha, and the Gemara, it seems that they, like this type of example, that they call people out and they do make fun of them sometimes. So he says we can't learn from what they do. We don't know exactly what the deeper kavanah is, what the Gemara is saying. When it uses the Lishonas, it seems to be that like they're insulting or calling out one another. We have to understand deeper what that means. Anyways, the Gemara says, Taima Dechseva Shrei Valdus. Now going back to the principle that Uber is Lav Yerachimo. So the Gemara says, Taima Dechseva Shrei Valdus. So we saw what we see from Yabbi Yochanan, that the reason that the Lacho, the guards, the Egyptian come there, and we go after the mother, because the Pasuk specifically says, those who are born to them. Halba Amma Basar Avua Shadin Lev. But in general, we're saying that the child should go after his father. We don't say that the fetus is Yerachimo. So Ella Adamar Rava, Nechris Mubarash Niskaya, if a pregnant woman who converts, so according to the purpose of here, the conversion of a female is done through just mikvah, right? Men, you have to do mila and tvila, and in times of Beis HaMikdash, you have to bring a korban. That's not ma'akev, the Gemara Krisis lends it out. But we see that either way, when it comes to Bizman Azeh, that a female would have to go into mikvah and have to intend to convert, and be makabal omachus, base omachus, omitzos in front of a basin. So now, her son does not require going to the mikvah. Amai ain't tzirich tevila. So now, if the child is not considered yerech imo, so then it's a separate entity. Why would he not require going to the mikvah afterwards when he is then born? So Gemara's bechidah mishum de Rabbi Yitzchak. You're going to tell me based on Rabbi Yitzchak, because what does Rabbi Yitzchak say? He says halacha with regards to going to the mikvah. He says damar Rabbi Yitzchak davar Torah rubo makbid alav chotzes rubo shenu makbid alav ina chotzes. Regards to adin daraisa, that only majority of one's body. And you don't want it there. You need two different things to invalidate a mikvah tefillah on a level of derais. We're makbid for both. We're rubo ba'ina makbid, and we're makbid for makbid, and if it's not even a rubo, that we're very makbid about that for a woman. And it's makbid even b'yevet to go again if she's makbid about it. So that's why. But anyway, on a level of derais, it's only majority of one's body. If it's something I'll cover a majority of her body, or and you don't care about it, or if it's something which you care about and it's a majority of rubo makbid alav chutzis. Only if you care about it and it's a rubo of your body. So we see over here, so the level of deraisa, though, we could say that the fetus doesn't object to being covered by the mother's body and wants that protection. So the mother's body does not pose a chatzitza between the baby and the mikvah. So the Gemara says now, if that's the truth, turning on to the next summer now, Veha, Amar Rav Kahana, but Rav Kahana taught us, Lo Shono Ela Rubo, they taught us Allah only regards to a majority of one's body, of Al Kula Chutza, but if it hears the entire body, none of it is reaching the Uber, the fetus, when she goes to the mikvah. So even if he does not object to its presence, since our case, the fetus is closed entirely, Lechora, the mikvah should be puzzled, even though the fetus does not object to its mother's presence. So the Gemara says, Shiny Uber, that a fetus is fundamentally different to Hainu Revise. For that's the way that the fetus develops. Therefore, his mother body is not considered a chatzitza whatsoever, and it would work to be considered, even if it's a separate entity, that it's kilu that the child is going to the mikvah. Now, also the basin needs to know that there is the uber. That was all shaila that Rav Schechter had once, where the woman didn't tell them that she was pregnant b'klal when she was converting, and he thought it was problematic. And he always says like they trust me. They asked Rabbi Yashiv, and he came to the same askana. But also that the basin would need to know that the child is that the woman is actually pregnant in order for this halacha to kick in. Anyway, the Gemara says Vayter. I forgot what his raya was. It wasn't from this Tam Gemara, but he had a raya for her. So it says Gemara, Kiyas Ravina Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Now Ravina came to Bavel. He said the name of Rabbi Yochanan, but Umas Halach Har Zachar. The regards to the Umaslam, that when it comes to this, is we're going to see in the Hemshech based on Gemara, that we have to, we're not allowed to let Losech Ayakol Neshamu. We have to wipe out all of the seven nations when they're in Klal Yisrael, when they're in Eretz Yisrael. So we have to get rid of them. So who do we go after? So we go after the Zachar. We're going to see what that means. We go after the male, Niskar, but once they convert, Alef Char Pagam Shemneam, we go after the more blemished of the two of them. So the Gemara is going to flesh out what are these two cases. Start with the first one. Bumos Alef Char Azachar. Ravina said in the name of Yochanan, regarding to the nations, we follow the male. So the significance of this is Kedisan is based on the Bray. So Minayan Laechal Mina Humos. From where is it derived that a male from any of these nations of the Shivas Amin, Shabal Knanis Voli Ben, and who had a Bia with a Minayan, again, Mina Humos, sorry, he's not one of the Shiva Samim. Opposite. It was a male from any of the non-Jew who was not from the Shiva Samim, and he was Ba, and he had relations, and he ended up having Bia with a Shivka Kananis, or with any Kananite lady, and they had child. Shata Rashi, they can also be Eved, that would be the example of somebody who are allowed to buy as an Eved. And remember, the Pasuk says, the Pasuk says that you are allowed to buy the children of the people who are living within you. Who are these people? Doesn't it say, Lo Sechaya Kol Neshama, you have to kill everybody living in Eretz Israel? No. So it means that if only the mother is from the Shiva Sa'amun, but the father is a random goy who has lived far away, lived in whatever it was. He lived in Iraq. He lived in Saudi Arabia. So then, in those cases, that would be mutter for you to leave them alive. I would say the other way around, that even if the reverse, if you have a Kanani father, and she had this lady from Saudi Arabia who he married and lived there in Israel, at the time when Klai Yisrael were coming in, so the Lacha, I would have thought, Shatar Rasha, like Nosu Be'avar, I thought maybe them also you're permitted to leave them alive and purchase them as slaves. Tamalomar, the Pasuk says, Asher Olidu Ba'aretzam, they who had them in your land. From among those who were born in your land, to the Canaanite mothers and from the non-Canaanite fathers, and not from those who were born abroad to non-Canaanite mothers from your Canaanite fathers who then returned to your land. Rather, we're saying that we go after that father, that the father is a Canaanite, or it's going to be problematic no matter what. So now the Gemara says, that was the first case. Now what's the second case Rabbi Yochanan was talking about? Rabbi Yochanan told us if they converted, that we go after the more blemished one. What does this mean? But Maya, what Allah is talking about? You're going to tell me, Elim, Amonis, you can tell me the case referring to a male Egyptian convert who marries a female Amoni. So the Gemara says, "My pogam shebishneim isbe." There is no pogima at all. An Amonis is totally allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. It implies that one is more pogam than the other. One is more problematic than the other, implying that they're both somewhat problematic. Here, the Amonis is not going to be problematic at all, so it can't be that case. So Amoni v'lo Amon is again according to the Drasha that she's totally allowed to be marrying into the Kila. Ella, we must be talking about the following. The Amoni shenasa mitris. We're talking about a case where you have an Amoni who marries a mitris. So there, the ruling is that we go after the more chamer one. That means izach or hava, if the child ends up being a male, shadei basar Amoni. We say that we go after the Amoni father, and therefore he is going to be usher ad olam because he's going to be considered an Amoni who's usher to marry into the Kihila. And it's in the Keva Ava, so an Ammonis is totally allowed to marry Lefachila right away. In that generation, she's allowed to be married into the Keila. No, but since her mother was a mitzvah, she had a bar mitzvah. So we throw her after the Egyptian mother, and therefore go after the more possible one, and she's also Asher Levokal until Dor Shlishi. Okay, what's the next mission? The next mission says, Mamzerim and Nesim Asurim. Mamzerim and Nesim are usher to marry into the Keila. Mamzerim and Nesim were those of the Givonim who tricked Yoshua into converting. So then, they were usher, and then we're going to see that in this with Gemara, Mapshma, the only Rabbanan, that afterwards David was goes around the Moser. Yisrael Yisrael Olam, and their Isser is forever. Echa Zuchar Mecha Nekevas, both males and females. Says the Mishnah, says the Gemara now, Amar Ish Lakish, Mamzeris L'achar Asara Doros Mutaris. Mamzeris, after 10 generations, they be permitted to marry into the Kila. Yalif Asir Asir Mamoni Mavi, Malala Nekevas, Apka Nekevas Mutaris. Just like there is Akevas, so we're learning out over here that the Asiri by Ammoni by Ammoni would tell you that after 10 generations, a female Ammonis is mutter. So too, it must be the Mamzer is going to be, a female is going to be permitted. That's what we learn from there. Ammonis is mutter in the first 10 generations, yeah, but we know that Eklis says Ad Olam with regards to Mamzer, and we have Xer Sheva only after the 10 generations. That's where Ad Asiri, Ador Asiri of Olam, Ador Asiri that they can't even come, so that Xer Sheva is only from the 10th generation and onwards. So says the Gemara now, email Alam Miyad. If the Xer Sheva is teaching you that a female mamzer to the female Amonis Yavis is maybe should be permitted immediately, even the first generation, no, Afkan Miyad, maybe now also should be Miyad. So Kianak Xer Sheva is Mesir Velech, is only from the generation onwards. That we were just saying, that really, that until Atzar Doros, we say that the Isser Mamzer is agreed that you can't be learning it. Only from the 10th generation onwards is going to be us. And we can learn the Xer Sheva teaching you that the Lechazer would be seen only from the 10th generation and on. So now Gemara says, "V'anat tzimbo." Don't we learn the Mishnah? Mamzer nesinim asurin v'isurin isur olam echad zechar v'chanakevas. It sounds like even females are usher forever. So how are you telling me that after 10 generations, it's mutter for a female to a mamzeres to marry into kahila? Lokasha han kama damar don minei uminei and han kama damar don minei v'uki basrei. There's a fundamental difference in how to understand Xer Sheva. One says you literally derive from it and you continue deriving from it, and one says you derive from it, you place it in its own context. So here, there's a general machlokas between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yeshua in Chulin in regards to Xer Sheva. Rabbi Lazar says, whenever the halacha has the characteristics of the context in which it was derived, don minei minei, that when we're learning halacha through Xer Sheva, we can derive it in its entirety, and therefore the halacha is going to be that all those things in the context is going to be the same as that which we derive it. But Yeshua says that no, that we learn don minei oki basrei, that we derive from it, but not in its place in its own context, that is, we use Xer Sheva to derive only what's absolutely necessary. But then we apply the rule in each case. So in our case, the gzera shava is necessary because the Torah doesn't say that a mamzer is aser leolam, but it does say with regards to the halacha, with regards to amoni. So we learn that we can learn that the mamzer is going to be from the amoni, the gzera shava, and therefore the case of the mamzer, the tenth generation, where it's going to be with regards just like an amoni, it's going to be amoni. It's going to be mutter after the tenth generation. Rish Lakish is telling us, like Rabbi Elazar, who says that don't mina yumine, that we're going to continue it and continue to drive it from it. We're going to learn that the amoni is going to be also ad olam. We continue learning that halacha, just that amoni is aser ad generations. Does not apply to females. So too, a mamzer after 10 generations would not apply to females. The Tana of our Mishnah, he's going to disagree. He's going to hold like Rabbi Yeshua that says domine vulgi basrei. That so when a mamzer is going to be forever, so too this halacha with regards to is the 10 generations can be both male and female. So too, we're going to learn both males and females for the woman who is a mamzeris as well. That's a machlokus. Now the Gemara says, "Shalu es Rabbi Eliezer mamzeris lachar sara darei mo." What's the halacha with regards to mamzeris after 10 generations? Amar lem mi itainli dor slishi v'atarayinu. Can you give me a third generation? I'll be able to make them poor. Meaning that's impossible. They're gonna die beforehand. So says the Gemara, "Because every mamzer lachaya." Rabbi Elazar holds the mamzer is gonna die. Hashem makes them that their generations don't live out. Eventually, someone's gonna be not gonna have any children, and then we don't let them live 10 generations. Chena Mar Abuna, mamzer is lachaya. A mamzer does not live. Our Mishnah says that it's usher forever, implying that even if they go 6, 7, 8 generations, 12 generations, they're always going to be usher. This implies that Mamzerim are able to continue living many generations. So something Rabbi Bezira, Ladinim Refreshalimine de Rav Yehuda, who's explained to me the lachas of Rav Yehuda, Diade Chaye. That a publicly known mamzer is able to live because everyone knows about him. However, Deloyade Chaye, another mamzer does not live because we're afraid that he's going to marry into Kosher. Diade the loyade mamzer that is known and unknown, we're not really sure atlasatari chaya until three generations, tvei lo chaya. More than that, they would not be able to live. One who is known by a mamzer, but not by everybody, we're afraid by the third generation is going to get lost, and then Hashem is going to make them that they die. Says the Gemara, Dahave Beshukla Derbi Ami, there was an unknown person who was a mamzer. People didn't know there was a mamzer, lived in the neighborhood of Ramami. Achaz Aleh, the mamzer, everyone, he told everybody this guy's a mamzer. Have Bachim Vyazi was depressed, he was crying, that Ravami exposed that he's a mamzer. He said, why are you upset? I'm giving you life. Nobody knew you were a mamzer. And the Torah tells us that what we see from the Chazal tell us that you would die, that this, you would not be able to get married even if you're going to die beforehand. Hashem wouldn't allow you to be able to continue to live. So I'm saving you from death by announcing you're a mamzer. Everybody knows you're a mamzer. Now that the Gemara continues on the Isra of Nesinim, Amar Rav Chana Bar Ada, Nesinim David Gazar Lem. David made a decree on the Nesinim that you should not be allowed to marry them. That the Mishnah, this suggests, again, Lechora, this is a big machlokas Rishonim about this. It appears from our Gemara that this is Machlokas Rava. Rava said that Nesinim are Aser Midoraisa of Los Ischatin Bam. However, this Gemara seems to assume that David is Gozer Alev. That's a whole big shayla. Rishonim handles in all the places where Nesinim come up because it implies in many Mishnayos also that it's Doraisa because Mishnayos say Elo and Elokin about Nesinim in Mishnah Makos. That clearly indicates that it's Doraisa. So that is a big shayla. So here anyway, since the Pasuk says Nemar Bikra Melech Givonim Veimar Lehem Givonim Lobnei Yisrael Ema. They call out the Gemonim, and the Gemonim said they're not from the children of Israel. They are not permitted to marry into the Kila. My Tamar Gazmaya, why did David decree that on the scene that they shouldn't marry them? The Chsev, Vayi, Rav, they made David Shalosh Shonim Achrei, Shana, there was a famine of 3 years, year after year. So what happened? So he says the Gemara now, Shana Rishona, Amar Lam, Shema Ovdei Avodas Kachavim Yishmachem, maybe the people are running Avodah Zarah, and he was checking into Klal Yisrael. They said, "What are the Melim Achirim Shach of Islam?" We have to Shema, Melim Atar, the Pasuk and Shema, that Hashem is going to make sure that there's no rain. That's why there's a drought right now. But Kuvelo Matsu, they didn't find any other worship rivers. They were all over Hashem. So that Kosh Baruch is going to punish us when Yirmiyahu, the pasuk is there, referring to people sinning, Hashem is going to punish them. But that also they found that people weren't good people. They were upstanding citizens and everything was good. Maybe the people who pledged money to Tzedakah and didn't give, the Chsiv, Nesiyim, Beruach, Vegeshim, Ayin, Ish, Mitzhalel, Bematas, Shekech. That there are those who for man last false gifts. Badkav lamatzu, that also they didn't find. Amar, so David said, in David to the LB, that the famine must be on me. Miyad, bevakash David's bin Hashem. So he asked to inquire of Hashem, what did he do wrong? So says Amar, Mai, so what does this mean by this? Amar, Shlakish, Sheshal, Burmatum, he asked the Rumatumim, what exactly have I done wrong? So he asked the Rumatumim, and he saw what exactly he was trying to figure out what he did wrong. So says the Gemara, Mai Mashma. So what is this, and where do we see from this? Amar, Belazar, Isa, Pnei, Pnei. The words Pnei, Pnei. The pasuk says that David asked before Hashem. It also says that you inquire the Urim and Mishpat of Hashem. We see that it refers to the Urim and Tumim. So what was the response of Hashem? He means it's like Givonim and Shaul killed the Givonim. So the Gemara says, "El Shaul." So there was two things you were punished for. Shaul, you didn't properly utilize him. So based on El Hashem says the Givonim, because the Shaul himself actually killed the Givonim. So says the Gemara, "Where did we see that Shaul mass murder the Givonim? We don't see that anywhere in Pesukim in the Neviim." So says the Gemara, "Let me tell Sharag Noviar Kohanim." That we see that Shaul after Shiloh was destroyed, the Mishkan moved to Nov, and there Doeg the Adomi, he was. He convinced Shaul that the people of Nov were supporting David, and they were trying to overthrow Shaul. So Shaul agreed with Doeg, and he massacred all the Kohanim in the year of Nov, because they helped David give them bread from the Lechem HaPanim, that was the Pashas of the Pasuk over there, and that's why they were punished. So now, they supplied the Givonim with food and water. So then, when Shaul massacred the Kohanim, the Givonim lost their means of support, as if Kilo Shaul had killed them also. As if he killed them. So the Gemara says, "Katava al Shaul shenus b'kalacha, v'katava al Shaul hamid." Wait a second, what's going on over here? How are we taking two ends of the fence over here? We're saying that they were punished because they didn't properly mourn and be maspid Shaul Melech, but Shaul Melech was the whole reason they got punished in the first place, because he killed all the Givonim. So what's going on over here? So the Gemara says, "Yes, in that it could be damar shlakish. Hakadosh Baruch Hu pays a tzaddik for what he does right, and he's going to punish him for what he does wrong." So here also, "Madech siv bakshu as Hashem kalan ve'aretz Hashem mishpatu palu seek Hashem all the humble of the land who have fulfilled His law." Hashem mishpatu sham palu, that place of the person's judgment is where he's going to mention his righteous deeds. So we see that Hakadosh Baruch Hu is going to be just, even though Shaul was guilty for his crimes against the Givonim, he also took note of Shaul's tzidkus, and therefore he should be eulogized properly. So now, okay, Be'ez Hashem will pick up his whole long statement about Amar David, Be'ez Hashem, in tomorrow's stuff.